Yeah, how do I sound, Mr. Wayne? The level's correct. I'm just trying to keep it kosher. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yo, check this out. Driving around town, top down, black Benz. Of course, I'm blasting my HD radio. Monday through Friday, 8 to 11. My dial's locked on that hot talk station. Tim Conway Jr., his show's so great. OG Valley stud repping 818. Been hearing forever how his dad's so good, but you won't find a dude who's less Hollywood. At 97.1, I'm his biggest fan, but he still needs a partner. Yeah, I said it, man. Hey, Jerry, cue up that big red mic. Make it hot. Let the stud start the show.
All right. Welcome, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. And we have a huge night for everybody here. In moments from now, we'll have Adam Carolla and chat with that young man, see what he's up to. And at 9 o'clock, we have a cougar coming in. I think she's 51, 52 years old. And she's into dating, 52 years old, and she's into dating like 20-year-olds. And we'll put that picture. I think that picture is going to be up on the website on 971freefm.com. So you'll be able to see that picture of a 52-year-old who likes those young dudes. And then at 8:30, David Goldstein's calling up from Channel 2 News. He's got some stuff to promote and talk about. But first, the man who starts everything off here in the morning. And the guy who used to host a show with Dr. Drew that I listened to every night. And now I'm listening to John and Jeff instead of Loveline. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Carolla, how are you, sir?
Hey, Timmy.
Hey.
I just caught the second half of your little announcement there, but... Isn't there a picture of Jack Silver up on the webpage already, on the homepage?
Yeah, he's the 52-year-old that likes 20-year-old guys.
I just caught that part of it. I don't.
Yeah, we got a cougar coming in at 9 o'clock, and they hate that term because it is a derogatory term for women who are in their 50s and like to date the 20-year-old guys.
Hey, I know, but you could do a lot worse in the animal kingdom. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you could be tree sloth or dung beetle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, or just farm pig.
Yeah, it's like, listen, sweetie, we have to sign some animal to you.
Yeah, because otherwise we don't know what to do with you.
Yeah, and your younger husky friend, Water Buffalo, not too happy either.
I know. Guys are so stupid that they always have to relate it to an animal. It's like, yeah, she's a real, you know, tiger, a real lion in bed.
It's funny, too. Like, we'll do that. Wherever we do, it's like, that fullback's a bull. You talk about that bull a punch. He's a Clydesdale. That guy's a workhorse. Thanks for the compliment.
Those are the only references we have when it comes to any kind of power, anything other than, like superhuman.
It's so weird that we have to sign an animal designation to, you know, the guy who works slow, works like a snail, right. Chick's a cougar, the guy's a Clydesdale.
Right. Because we have no other references, you know, because if you start, you know, naming people's names, nobody knows anybody anymore.
Funny, too, it's like, I'm a bull of a guy and I was humping this cougar like a rabbit. Really, it's like a goddamn menagerie in your bedroom.
Right, exactly. Hey, I was listening to you the other day, and I got to jump on your side here when it comes to the gas prices. I was listening to, I believe it was Channel 4 News or Channel 7, where they were doing a news report out in Canoga Park where gas had jumped 4 cents overnight, and sure. It was the lead story.
Oh, hell, get the helicopter out.
4 cents.
Van's not going to make it. I know. And they always interview the same semi-retarded motorist by the pump.
Right.
And he does the math for us. Like, it used to cost $38 to fill up my minivan, and now it costs $46.
Right.
Oh, hold on a second there, Einstein. So you're saying it's the price per gallon goes up, the overall price to fill your tank goes up?
Right.
And they're always semi-disgruntled, and then they're talking to them about the vacation plans.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Well, you know, I read something on the Internet where this lady and this man and this woman were saying that they no longer drive at 70 miles an hour. Now they drive at 62 miles an hour to try to save gas.
Right.
And yet they were being interviewed driving from Miami, where they have their winter home, to Vermont, where they have their summer home.
And it took them 4 months.
Right.
You know, here's the thing, too. Like, do you ever really just break down the math? Because it's always, first off, I feel like I've heard the term summer driving season 2,000 times, and I still don't know what it means.
Yeah, I don't either.
Do you really drive more during the summer? I mean, when you work, you get into your car, you drive to work, you go to work, and then you drive home. When you're not working, I don't drive as much, quite honestly, when I'm not working. If the kids aren't in school, then you're not shuttling them back and forth. And if you go to Orlando for 2 weeks, your car's parked in the driveway, not moving at all.
Right, exactly.
What is summer driving season? What are you like? Well, I'll cover 18 or 20 miles the other 9 months out of the year,
right.
But summer driving season, I'll circle the globe.
Well, it's like these guys, you know, in the summer it's 112 here, so why get in the car with the hot leather seats anyway? Just stay in the air-conditioned home.
I don't really think people drive more, but then furthermore, let's break the math down for one hot second here, Timmy.
Okay.
You're gonna cancel your summer vacation because you're gonna toss the kids in the back of the minivan and head up to Hearst Castle and see the redwoods up there. It's 275 miles. The minivan's getting 30 miles a gallon on the highway.
Right.
Gas just went up 9 cents a gallon. That's 27 cents each way. Really, you're going to scrub the mission based on that? And by the way, a humble suggestion from a literal millionaire. If gas going up 4 cents is enough for you to scrub the vacation, perhaps you should stay in and work this year.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not getting enough done during the course of the work year.
Yeah, I saw a woman in a Ford Focus, and she must have been about 220 pounds, and she was complaining about gas prices on the news, and she said, well, now she's got to figure out whether she's going to put gas in the tank or have money to eat.
Well, yeah, and seriously, the extra, 140 pounds she's carrying around in her ass is like 10 sandbags sitting in the passenger side of the car.
Right. As you said, it's always horsepower to weight ratio.
That's, what the hell? A moped gets great gas mileage because it weighs 150 pounds.
Right.
That's the way it works. And the only reason the big cars get bad gas mileage is just the weight. It's the reason a M1 Abrams tank gets a half a mile to the gallon. It weighs,
right.
30 tons.
Right, exactly. They have the Ford Focus, they should have renamed that car the Ford I Didn't Focus.
Right.
Because those are the people who are not focusing in life.
Yes. The Ford ADD. I couldn't get my S together. Ford. I like the ironically named Chevy Celebrity. Because that's what all the A-listers drive around.
Right.
Whenever you're out front of, the Ivy, and you see Sharon Stone pull up, it's always in a 88 Celebrity. the one I like? My favorite is the Daihatsu Charade. This is not an actual car. It's a farcical charade of a car.
I was following a guy the other night in a Geo Prism, and they've got to lose the M and put an N up there because that's what you're driving around. You're driving a Prism around.
You are in a three-cylinder Prism. A self-made Prism. It's your own little devil's island right there in the middle of the 405.
All right, folks, Adam Carolla is with us, and a little-known fact about Adam, that when you go to dinner, I heard that if you pay for everybody's meal, that nobody goes home with leftovers but you.
That's my motto. That's the way I roll.
That's the greatest plan in the world, because you're paying for that food.
Right.
Why are you paying to stock their refrigerator?
And not only that, it's a slippery slope, because the next thing sure, now they just can't finish a stuffed pork chop, but down the road, they're ordering extra salads to go, burgers. They're they're ordering 3 and 4 meals in advance. They may order Denver omelet to go for tomorrow's breakfast.
Right.
It was a funny thing. I took Teresa and her fiance, Teresa Strasser and her fiance, out to dinner.
What's he like, by the way?
He is a very normal, slender man.
Right.
And they both ordered pork chops or something, and they were going to pack it up. And I did jokingly say, listen, if I'm paying, the food stays. So, you know, I'll give you a choice. You can either finish it here or I'll take it home. But I don't pay and have you pack. That's not the way I roll.
You should have that on your shirt. If I'm paying, the food's staying.
Right. I'm not telling you, you know, I'm not telling you what to do with it. You can finish it now, you understand, or you can give it to the table next to you. But you just can't take it home.
That makes perfect sense, though, if you think about it.
So she was kind of half drunk, and right. I, you know, everyone was, you know, a little bit in the bag, and it was one of those things where I told her I'm very serious about this, although I don't know if she could tell if I was kidding or serious, and I was sort of half kidding and half serious.
Right.
But ultimately, I would have let her take her pork chop home. And then the following day, so I started laughing. The following day, my wife says, what are you going to eat for tonight? And I said, now my wife ordered a pork chop too, and she didn't finish it. And I said, I think I'm going to finish that big pork chop years off. She said, I already ate it for lunch. And I said, well, I'm looking at a pork chop in our refrigerator right now, so I don't know. And then it dawned on me, we did take her pork chop home, and my wife did eat it for lunch. And she did walk away from the experience thinking, the Ace Man is very serious. I mean, he does a lot of kidding on the radio, but when it comes to buying people meals and doggy bags, he's cancer serious.
You know, when you have, I don't know how you do this, but I still haven't found a perfect way to do it. But when I go up to visit my wife's family up in Oregon, and we'll all go out to a dinner, occasionally, like her stepfather, her mother buys dinner for like 6 or 7 people. And I always have to, you know, you walk out to the car and you go, oh, Christ, I left my jacket or my keys or whatever. And you got to slide back in and make sure that the tip is right.
Right.
You know, because a lot of these families, they'll screw the guy on the tip.
Right.
But I don't know how to look at that bill with everyone around without, you know, tremendously insulting the guy who left the tip.
There is that super condescending, I do that with my dad. Dad, would you leave the guy? You know you're in trouble, by the way, when the person gives you the speech that you don't include the tax. That's not, so, you know.
Right. Yeah, you're screwing about 15 cents.
Right, so it's like, all right, it's $253, and 14 of it is tax, but God forbid you tip a nickel on that 14 bucks. Like, you got to know you're in for a tough tip day when the guy's telling you to make sure not add the tax to the overall total.
Or the guy that brings out the little card, the little graph on how much 15% is.
Yeah, I like the guy who's wearing the quarterback wristband. He's got to check the inside of that and drag his finger down it. And it's like, look, it was, you know, you went to the IHOP and you dropped 18 bucks. Just leave him $5 on the table, would you? Do you really? Really? And then what? You lift the shirt up and you're wearing the Ice Cream Man change belt? Let's see, 287 and a half. Look, I'm feeling generous. I'm going to round up.
Well, it's like all these a-holes who go to Supercuts and they think they're big spenders. Where they spend, you know, $16.95 or $17.95 on a haircut, and then, you know, give them a 20 and say, keep the change. They don't realize it's two and a nickel.
I knew a chick who worked for Supercuts, and I used to tell her, you know, the haircuts were $14-15, but the day they raise them to $18.95 is the day you're going to have to quit because everyone's just going to drop the deuce down there, and that's it, right?
Right, exactly.
I have a theory, by the way. You know, since ATMs only work in $20 denominations,
right?
And you know that thing when, like, especially when you go to Vegas, but especially when you're traveling.
Right.
And you just go rape the ATM and you have $600 worth of 20s in your wallet. and everyone just gets a 20.
Right, exactly.
Like, you go to the sundry shop and get a Snickers bar, and it's like, there's your 20. You tip the guy who hails the cab, he gets the 20.
Right.
The $8 cab ride, he gets the 20. Like, everyone, you go to the strip. That's my theory, by the way. That's why a lap dance is $20.
Right.
If it was $21 or $19, all the earth would fall off its axis. It's, yeah. But I have this theory that eventually everything will just be $20.
You know, I was with a friend of mine, and I can't believe, you know, sometimes you accidentally act like a complete a-hole, right?
Okay.
I was with a friend of mine who is not doing well, and I met him down at the Commerce Casino. He's like 35, 40. Actually, he's like 30. He's almost 40 years old, and he's not doing well. He's got no dough. He just, you know, he busted out. I don't know whether he spent it on gambling or what, but he's one of those guys that gets, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and he never has... His car makes about 18 noises.
Right.
And I was telling him, I said, man, I got a terrible problem here. I pulled out $700 out of the ATM, and the money, I was pulling out so much money, it got stuck in the ATM, and I couldn't get it out of there. I threw an S-fit.
You were this close to dropping your cracker piled high with caviar. You were so upset.
But I, on the way home, I realized what an a-hole that must have been. You know, guy, you know, complaining and bitching that he has the stack of money was too big coming out of the ATM.
Have you ever, and I've been down this low many, many times back in the day, and I'm not talking about high school. I'm talking about 27, 28,
right.
29, where I hit up the ATM and I don't have enough to make it to 20. And I probably had 20 in there, but with the $1.50 surcharge,
right.
I'm at 21.50 now, and that ain't enough to spit the last 20 I have out of that slot.
Well, you remember the good old days, and this only happened for about the first 6 months that ATMs were around, where you could make a deposit and they instantly credited your account.
Yeah.
So you make a deposit for $80, withdraw the $80, even though you had 20 in there, and then just deal with the bank on the next day.
How about just the concept of pre-ATM no cash?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how about that concept of you'd go take your paycheck into the bank on Friday, deposit it, and do that. I'll take $30 for the weekend.
Right.
And that would go up your nose or into the slots or wherever it went on Friday night.
Right.
And then you were pretty much panhandling until Monday morning.
I know.
But here's the key. The key was to hook up with a chick that was either a stripper or a waitress or a bartender.
Right.
Because those are the only people that had cash.
Right.
Back in the day. Remember you'd have that buddy who was a bartender?
Oh, yeah. He's always loaded.
He always had $80 on him.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And if you had a regular 9-to-5 job, you just got that crappy check deposited in your account minus the ATM. You didn't have cash.
Yeah, do you remember, and I'm sure this happened to you, because it happened to me out in the valley. And again, Adam Carolla's with us. We both grew up in the San Fernando Valley. But when one guy was going to drive his, like, you know, 1977 Camaro over to Westwood, on another night where nobody was going to get chicks, he would say, all right, everybody pitch in for gas. And if it was really cheap, he would say, okay, another couple bucks for the wear and tear on the car.
Right. Well, that was a Corolla, you know, battle cry, which is, I lived in North Hollywood, and I used to try to get rides to see my buddy in Van Nuys, which, you know, as the crow flies, about 4 miles from
right.
where I live. And my mom, who drove a VW Squareback, basically locked herself in a room and smoked pot and yelled "freak out" for my entire childhood. You know, would always play the gas card. The first big gas crunch came at a perfect time for the Corollas, because they played that card all the way through my adolescence. You realize how expensive gas is, and at a certain point, I was able to do the math, and I said, look, that VW gets 25 miles to the gallon. Teddy Lewis's house is 4 miles from where we live. Gas is 75 cents a gallon. There and back, that's a dime, Ma. Come on. And she said, every time you start the car, it costs money.
Right.
I'm talking oil consumption. How about the wear and tear on the retread bias ply tires we have on that baby? And I thought,
the retreads.
Oh. Like, you know that point? You know, people always talk about that point where they go, when you find out there's no Santa Claus or Easter Bunny and how traumatic that is.
Right.
How about when you find out your parents are morons? You know what I mean? Like, how about when you find out at age 9 and a half you're smarter than everyone in your family? And Jesus Christ, I'm trapped with these idiots.
That's got to be tough.
Santa, you can get past.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Santa's even a plus because you realize that's Daddy and Mommy who really love me.
Right, exactly.
But not some fat guy from the North Pole. But when you find out that your dad's an idiot or you could kick his ass or both.
Right.
You know, that realization where it's like, Jesus Christ, Mom is a knob who's loonier than a tune. You know, oh, good God. These people are in charge of me?
Yeah. By the way, when did you graduate high school?
Mm-hmm.
What year?
I graduated North Hollywood High in 1982.
1982.
Right. was acutely aware many years before that everyone in my family was a loser.
You know, I just looked this up the other day. I graduated in 1981 from Birmingham High School in the Valley.
Yeah.
And in 1981, while I'm graduating, Paris Hilton was being born.
Oh. Hey, you Paris Hilton, you want to have some fun. You know, I just did a little show called Dancing with the Stars with a 19-year-old partner.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
She's 19.
Yeah.
She was born in, you know, 89.
Jesus Christ.
89. It's like, I was like, let's see. You were born, 89. I was living in North Hollywood. In North Hollywood with a stripper when you were born.
Right. Yeah, it was a year after Kirk Gibson hit the home run for the Dodgers.
80.
Jesus Christ.
Goddamn nine.
Hey, you know, speaking of idiots, and, you know, I'll just take your word for it that you, you know, you're smarter than the rest of your family. My wife tried to book us, and we're going up to Oregon in a couple weeks, and on the way up to Oregon, we're going to stop at a hotel on the way up and divide the trip into 2 days, which is fine with me. And she books us into a bed and breakfast.
No, Tim, no.
And I said, are you effing kidding me? I mean, I got to now become friends with the four other couples in that joint?
Tim, it is, there's no hotel that's worse than a bed and breakfast.
Right.
There's no motel.
Right.
There's not enough roaches in a motel to keep me out of it before going. They call it a bed and breakfast. Let's call it what it is. You're flopping at someone's house. And
they're charging you.
And you're flopping at someone's house who thinks it'd be a good idea to have someone flop at their house.
Right. And a person is very particular about what you do in that house. Like,
right.
No, you can't put your feet up on that coffee table. Marriott doesn't give a rat's ass if you do that.
I know, and it's like, and Marriott doesn't tell you grandma's serving breakfast at 7:30 sharp, so you may want to be down before you miss out.
Right, and everybody wakes up early as hell, and it's one big house, plus you often have to share a bathroom with some idiot.
And there's always this logistical nightmare where it's like, hey, we'd like to head into town for a steak and a couple of pops. We may not be back till midnight.
Right.
Will we lock up here when the street lights come on? Well, I'll crawl through the bathroom window. And by the way, guess whose bedroom you're in? You're in the bedroom of the middle son who hung himself in it 3 years earlier. The goth kid.
Yeah, there's always a tragedy.
They like to think it was autoerotic asphyxiation, but we know what happened that fateful August night. And it's like you're in a room of some troubled teen that is either doing gay porn or
right.
choked himself out many years earlier.
And it's always based on a couple where both halves are losers.
Right.
You know, the guy didn't do well, she didn't do well, so now they got to rent out the kids' room to try to get by.
Right, yeah. It's basically at a certain point, you turn to your wife and say, you know how we could make an extra $63 a day? We could have total strangers sleep in Bobby's spare bedroom. I mean, that's the mentality you're dealing with.
I know, and you know what? Everybody who owns a bed and breakfast thinks that it is, you know, that's the classiest move on the planet, and you're only going to get classy people to come house.
I'll say there's two culprits here. First, the second Bob Newhart show. because they ran a bed and breakfast, and right. they glorified it.
Right, exactly.
I went in with a I thought I was going to see Bob Newhart and his hot wife and, you know, the mayor of the town, and we're going to drink, you know, hot buttered spiced rum, you know, by a fire and trade fishing stories. I had no idea it was just going to be bad rust-colored porn shag from the 70s and a decrepit grandma circling the kitchen waiting to die. I had no idea. The other thing I blame is the name.
Right.
It sounds good.
Oh, yeah, it does. It's sounds
like,
great.
It's like second only to Casualty of War. There's never been something that's been so misnamed, you know?
Right.
Bed and breakfast sounds good, and it also sounds like the kind of thing your wife wants to tell her Yenta friends.
Right.
What, you and Timmy, we stayed at a bed and breakfast. Oh, bed and breakfast, yeah. So the wife books the vacation. She loves the way it sounds. We went down the coast and we stayed at a bed and breakfast. She loves the way it just rolls off her tongue.
Yeah, and you always have to be on your best behavior when you're in there. You're always, like, trying to impress your new in-laws when you get there.
Yes, you're camping in somebody else's house. And no matter what, you know, the other thing, too, is, like, it's impossible to walk into someone's new home without that sort of whoosh of smell of them. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, whether the guy smokes a cigar or whether they have more than one cat or they like to cook a lot of bacon-based dishes, whatever it is, you know, just as you cross the threshold, there's a rush of information that passes through your nostrils and you get a complete composite of the person, like just their entire life flashes in front of you.
Right, exactly.
You'll do that. Hey, smoker, old person living in the house, somebody likes to deep fry. You know, just pow. And the worst, too, is the bed and breakfast, they don't have them in Southern California. They have them in, like, Vermont and, you know, on the Northern California stuff. So it's always cold, so the heat's always going.
Right.
So you step out from the cold, and the heat has been cooking the smell inside the house. And when that warm rush of air hits you, it's all you need to know. It sort of smells like, it's like when pornography gets wet, like when a Playboy gets wet, it has that smell.
Right.
When a penthouse or a Wii from the 70s would get wet and you'd crack it open, it's a little mildew.
And then you got to sign the book when you get there. Like, you know, and also, here's another thing about the bed and breakfasts. I don't know if you know about breakfast, much about it, but the most elaborate breakfast on the planet, you know, eggs, bacon, toast, an omelet, whatever, it's about $1 to make.
Right.
I never understood free breakfast as an attraction at a hotel. Never got it.
Right. And by the way, it's free continental breakfast, which is, stale corn muffin and some Sanka.
Yeah. Yeah. Continental breakfast is the worst.
And by the way, I don't know, the problem with hotel breakfast time is they're on work breakfast time, which is not vacation breakfast time.
Right. Vacation breakfast time is 2 p.m.
2:30. You're sort of partially wrecked and hungover,
right.
And you stumble down because you got to get something in your stomach,
right?
Because it was pretty much just booze the night before, and they tell you the breakfast buffet was shut down 9 hours earlier, and you're like, "Look, what do you think I'm doing? Working out of this hotel? We're in Orlando, for Christ's sake!" You know, they'll do that thing where they go, "Yeah, the breakfast is only from 6:30 a.m. to 7:45." Like, what do you think I'm doing? Kissing my wife and running down the stairs with a briefcase out past the pool with the big kitty slide in it?
The only time I hit those breakfasts is when I'm still up drinking.
Yeah, I know there is that. There's that staggering home, counting your money, half drunk. Yeah, what do we got here?
Right. Yeah, it's a mini box of Fruit Loops. I'll take that.
Hey. And there's somebody that tells you, you know, it's 5:48. Technically, you can't crack the seal on the Fruit Loops until 6 a.m. She's going to look the other way.
It's unbelievable. They should all go out of business. All right, Adam, I always appreciate you coming on, buddy. Fridays is excellent. We hope you can make it next Friday as well.
I'll be counting the hours,
okay.
Timmy.
All right, buddy, thanks again. And go see the movie The Hammer. It's thehammermovie.com.
Thank you, Timmy.
Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Take care.
All right, there he goes, everybody. I don't know anybody who's funnier than that dude, Adam Carolla. Always nice to have him check in on Fridays. Randy Wang sets that up for us. And that's always a great segment. I always look forward to coming in on Friday and speaking with Adam Carolla, everybody. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking to Mr. Goldstein, from David Goldstein from Channel 2. He's got some, I guess a lot of puppy mill blew up, and 100,000 people are looking at this website over at CBS trying to adopt these puppies, man. So we'll talk to him. And then we got the news, and then we also have a cougar coming in, and you can check her out on the website, 971freefm.com. Check her picture out there. It is Tim Conway Jr. live on 97.1 Free FM.